all of you who are with us in person, and those of you who are joining us online. We have just a few announcements. Just a reminder that the Conrad family is having a reunion after worship, and they want you to know that the whole church is invited, and it's going to be a pretty big potluck meal. So if you like potlucks, they're going to have it in the fellowship hall instead of outside, since it's hot and humid out, but you're all welcome. Hopefully you noticed that this week we got a new roof, and this has been an abundant blessing for us. We are going to dedicate the new roof on Sunday, June 30th during worship. That Sunday is also Camp Sunday, and the Fellowship Committee is hosting their annual 4th of July cookout after worship that day. So make sure that you plan to come. In two Sundays, the Scholarship Committee is hosting a lunch. It's going to be a taco bar and salad bar. And they are going to have their silent auction for the baskets that we have been putting together. As you saw last week, we have four high school graduates who are going on to further their education. And we have four other students who are already in college or getting their master's degree. So we need to provide money for eight scholarships this fall, which is why we're doing this, to raise more money so we can offer them as much as possible. So please make sure that you attend that Sunday. Also, one of the baskets is going to be given away through a drawing. And Sherry is here. She's on the scholarship committee. She's going to be selling those tickets after worship. I think it's $1 a ticket, six for five. I can't quite remember. 10 for 13. Okay, so please meet with Sherry after worship if you'd like to enter into that drawing. This morning, we are delighted to welcome Vicar Rachel Tyson. She is with us straight from Lutheran Theological Southern Seminary, where she just graduated with her MDiv. She is currently in the call process in the North Carolina Synod. And the Synod reached out to us, asking us to provide a neutral place for her to preach and lead worship so that a call committee could observe her leading worship and hear her preach. And so we are grateful that we can offer that this morning, and we give you a warm, warm welcome. We have a few birthdays this week. Actually, Brandon Conrad, your birthday is today. Happy birthday. It's the actual day. Also, Anna Laura's birthday is today. Norris Feeney is later this week. Dottie Curry is having a birthday. Paul Conrad and William Curry. Celebrating their anniversary is Joe and Jennifer Davis. And remembering their baptism, Bill Curry and Conrad Summer. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I know we've asked you this before, but if you are not getting the holly leaf in your inbox every Thursday, please let us know at the office so that we can add you to that list. We also have a list of a few people who don't have email, and for those folks, we do print it out each week. But if you are not getting the holly leaf, make sure you get us your email, because that's the primary way that we put out information. And so if you don't get the holly leaf, you're not going to get that. So please let us know. We have a couple prayer shawls today. I realized last Sunday afternoon that although we prayed for John's prayer shawl during the children's sermon, we didn't pass it around. So we're going to pass John's prayer shawl around for you all to pray over. John is going to have surgery in about 6 weeks. They're still trying to figure out all of the details. You know, it's a bunch of hurry up and wait. But please pray for John as this goes around. And this prayer shawl is for Will Potter, and he is Carol Varner's great-great-great nephew. He was in a pretty bad bicycle accident this week and got pretty wounded. Is he home from the hospital, Carol? He's been at home. Okay, he spent a couple days at Brenner's Hospital. He's home now, so we will pray for Will. So we have a prayer shell ministry here, and what we do is we pass this around during the service so that you can lay hands on it and pray for the person who will receive it. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude.
Thank you. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. All-powerful God, in Jesus Christ, you turn death into life and defeat into victory. Increase our faith and trust in him, that we may triumph over all evil in the strength of the same Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Y'all may be seated, and I would like to invite the children forward for the children's chat. Good morning, friends. This morning, I brought some pictures of my family to show you all. You all have a family, right? You know what a family is, yes? Our friends who love us and nurture us. Well, family is like friends, isn't it? Here are some photos. This is me and my husband and our three children. This is David and Hadley and Judah. So we have three children as well. And here's a picture of me and my children and my parents. So my kids call them Nana and Noonan. You can pass those around and look. Here's another one of my family. Here. Pass that around. So one definition I found in the dictionary said a family is a group consisting of parents and children living together in a household. And I think that's no doubt one way that we can define a family, but a family can be much more than that. Earlier, as I started talking about family, I said family is like friends, and that's exactly where I'm going this morning with this children's message to you all. So I have some more pictures here of my children and their friends who have become like family to them. So we'll pass that around. That's my son Judah. and his friend Jackson and Xylan. Here's a picture of my son Judah and his teacher, Mrs. Hayes. And this is another one of my son Judah and his friend Grayson. And then another picture of him with his friends in the other photo as well. So as we see, and as I'm sure that you all have experienced too, a family can be any group that is brought together by common interest and beliefs and love for one another. And one of the best examples of this, I think, is the church, where we are right now this morning together. The church is a family that's bound together by the love of God and for one another. So in the Bible lesson today that you all will hear me in just a little bit preach on, Jesus was together with his disciples in a house. When Jesus' mother and brothers arrived at the house, they sent someone inside looking for him. They told Jesus, "Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you." And Jesus looked around at the people seated around him and answered, "Here are my mother and my brothers, and whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." You and I love our families, but we also have a wonderful family of faith made up of brothers and sisters who love God and love one another. And it is wonderful to be a part of the family of God. So please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our families, and we thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for coming up here this morning with me. Thank you.
A reading from the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent tricked me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you among all animals and among all wild creatures. Upon your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is from the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians. "Just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with the scriptures, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus, and will bring with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it is extended to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart, even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. And for what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus went home, and the crowd came together again, so that they could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons, he cast out demons." And he called them to him and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly, I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, "He has an unclean spirit." Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace, peace, and mercy to you from him who was, who is, and who is yet to come, Christ, the living Lord. Amen. Growing up, my mom was always the cook in the house, but it was my dad who was the one that shared his love of sandwiches. He had one favorite sandwich that he always made for me and my two brothers. My dad grew up in the South, and his go-to sandwich was a peanut butter, banana, and mayonnaise sandwich. I never questioned this combination until I got married. And I made this sandwich for my husband, and he kind of gave me the side eye, like, "What is this?" And then whenever we had kids and I offered the same sandwich to them, they replied, "Ew, are you crazy? I'm not eating that." Apparently, my childhood sandwich of peanut butter, banana, and mayonnaise was just plain weird and crazy to my kids in today's time. You might be wondering, why in the world am I talking about sandwiches and crazy ones, no less? Well, the gospel text from Mark that we just heard is considered an intercalation, or in simplistic terms, friends, today we have ourselves a Markan sandwich. The sandwich structure is important. I mean, obviously, I've framed my entire sermon around sandwiches. But in today's gospel, we can take a lesson from the words on family, and we can also take a lesson from Jesus' words about Satan. But I think Mark's intent is to be found in the relationship between the two. And just as my dad's sandwich seemed odd to some, Jesus' message and actions often seemed radical and crazy to those around him. So let's break this sandwich down into bite-sized pieces and look at it more closely together. Our sandwich starts and ends with the crowd and Jesus' family. The crowd is so large and demanding that Jesus and his disciples can't even eat. His family hears about this and comes to restrain him, thinking he has gone a little delulu and is out of his mind. To them, Jesus' actions are bizarre, and there's a lot of commotion that's being generated around him. The crowd is pressing in on Jesus, desperate to hear his teachings, to witness his miracles, and to be healed themselves. The situation has become chaotic, with people from all over gathering to see the man who speaks with such authority and performs miraculous deeds. In the midst of this, his family is concerned. They believe that Jesus has taken things too far and that he might be endangering himself and others. Their intention to restrain him is likely out of love and a desire to protect him, but it also shows a lack of trust and understanding in his mission. This reflects how even those closest to us might misunderstand our commitment to God's mission. As if familial concern wasn't enough, Jesus also faced accusations from religious authorities. The next part of our sandwich is the encounter with the scribes. The scribes accuse Jesus of being possessed by Satan, saying he casts out demons by the power of the prince of demons. Jesus responds with the parable, which I love because it really engages us to discern what he is actually saying, and it emphasizes that a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. He explains that his power comes from binding the strong man, Satan, and freeing people from his grasp. I think Martin Luther beautifully illustrates this concept, where he compares Satan to a bad dog on a chain. Luther said, "Why should you fear? Why should you be afraid? Do you not know that the prince of this world has been judged? He is no lord, no prince anymore. You have a different, a stronger lord, Christ, who has overcome and bound him. Therefore, let the prince and God of the world look sour, bare his teeth, make a great noise, threaten, and act in unmannerly ways. He can do no more than a bad dog on a chain, which may bark, run here and there, but he cannot tear the chain. Because it is tied and you avoid it, it cannot bite you." By tying up the strong man, Jesus demonstrates his authority over Satan and his evil works. He reassures us that Satan's power is limited and that we can face the world's evil without fear. This statement is powerful and one of hope, especially in a world where evil and division can seem overwhelming. Jesus' words remind us that the ultimate power belongs to God. Satan, though he may bark and make noise, is restrained. The imagery of tying up the strong man illustrates that Jesus has the authority to subdue and limit the power of evil in our lives. I am reminded of the verse in Isaiah that says, "No weapon formed against you will prosper." We aren't promised that the weapon will not be formed, but we are promised that it will not prosper against us. In the final part of our sandwich today, Jesus reassures us that all sins can be forgiven, while also warning about the danger of blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. This is a call to recognize the work of the Holy Spirit and to embrace Jesus' mission with an open heart, even when it seems crazy. Over time, people have misunderstood this passage, unfortunately, believing it to mean that there is a sin too great to be forgiven, leading them to think they are not worthy of redemption. This misinterpretation has caused many to live in fear and despair, feeling like they're cut off from God's grace. However, the true message here is one of hope and reassurance. Jesus emphasizes that all sins and blasphemies can be forgiven, highlighting the boundless nature of God's mercy. The only unforgivable sin is the persistent rejection of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives, a deliberate and ongoing refusal to accept God's grace. This means that as long as we are open to God's Spirit, redemption is always within reach. We are never beyond the reach of God's forgiveness and love. This is a call to recognize the work of the Holy Spirit and to embrace Jesus' mission with an open heart, even when it seems crazy. So now that we have all of the pieces of the sandwich a little bit clarified and pulled through, let's put it together and take a bite out of the sandwich together and see what it means for us today. The radical gospel of Jesus Christ calls us to life that may seem crazy to others. We are called to love our neighbor, advocate for the outcast, and be obedient to God's command. Yes, we may face situations that feel beyond our control, whether it's personal struggles, societal injustices, or global issues. And I know firsthand that in those situations, it's easy to feel powerless and afraid and shameful in this world. But Jesus' declaration gives us a different perspective. We are not at the mercy of those forces. Jesus, through his life, death, and resurrection, has already conquered the ultimate source of evil. This doesn't mean we won't face challenges, but it does mean that we face them with the assurance and hope in knowing that Jesus has the final victory. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ emphasizes how dangerous it appears when holiness shows itself to be unbound and uninterested in conforming to the way things presumably have to be or should be, and how liberating it is when people are set free from fear. This is the good news we embrace and proclaim as Christians. Throughout Jesus' ministry, he showed his love for people by healing them and casting out demons, even when it meant breaking societal and religious norms. Last week, we heard about Jesus healing on the Sabbath. And today, we heard of him speaking up against the scribes and boldly expanding the lineage of family to include all of God's beloved people. His actions demonstrate that loving our neighbor means putting their needs above rules and traditions. Jesus reached out to those marginalized by society, the sick, the possessed, the sinners. By healing and forgiving them, he showed that everyone is worthy of God's love and redemption. Jesus' mission included advocating for those whom society had cast out. Consider how Jesus interacted with the lepers and the tax collectors. He did not shy away from them, but instead welcomed them, healed them, loved them, and included them in his ministry. For us, following his example means standing up for justice and inclusion. Jesus obeyed God's command, even when it meant facing misunderstanding and opposition from his family and the religious leaders. His commitment to God's will overrode all other concerns, further modeling for us the importance of obedience to God's command in our own lives, too. Think about the prophet Jeremiah, who continued to speak God's truth despite facing persecution and imprisonment. His obedience to God's command was unwavering, and it serves as a powerful example for us today. In addition to this radical call to discipleship, we are also reminded of the profound gifts we receive at the table of our Lord. In Holy Communion, we partake in the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. This sacrament is a powerful reminder that all are welcome to God's table and that we are all beloved by God. Communion is not just a ritual. It's not just something we go through the motions with. It is an invitation to experience the grace and love and mercy in Christ and to remember that no matter how broken or unworthy or shameful or naked that we may feel, we are invited to share in this holy meal together. Moreover, the gifts of holy baptism are equally profound. Through baptism, Christ's Spirit comes to us, marking us as God's own and initiating us into the community of believers. Baptism is not a one-time event, but a lifelong journey. Each day we are invited to take off the old self characterized by sin and put on the new self renewed by the waters of holy baptism. Every day is an opportunity to start anew, to live in the grace and love of Christ Jesus, and to let the Holy Spirit guide our actions. Thanks be to God for that. In closing, I want to wrap up my own sandwich sermon by bringing us back to the beginning when I shared that my kids thought I was crazy for trying to feed them peanut butter and mayonnaise on sliced bread. Now, my kids might take what I call a thank you bite of the crazy sandwich I once introduced to them, but it hasn't grown on them. Now, instead, they ventured into creating sandwich concoctions of their own, adding chips, pretzels, chocolate chips, pickles. I think one of them put ice cream on a sandwich once. Essentially, you name it, and they've probably tried it. And this reminds me a lot of the kingdom of God. We are all empowered to grow and acquire our taste and spiritual gifts and God's good timing. And we are equipped by the power of the Holy Spirit to add our own pizzazz, flair, and uniqueness to God's holy mix. What would our world be like if we embraced the uniqueness of one another? What if we leaned into the weirdness of others, got curious and real excited to meet someone right where they are? Wouldn't that be a world full of love? Where one likes peanut butter, banana, and mayonnaise sandwiches, and the other likes a good old tomato sandwich. Maybe the other likes a liver mush sandwich. And all are beloved and unique exactly as they are created. Isn't that what the gospel is all about? Just as my dad's unusual peanut butter, banana, and mayonnaise sandwich was unique yet cherished, we are all unique in God's kingdom. Embracing our differences with love and curiosity reflects the radical inclusivity of the gospel. And friends, the gospel is radical. It is crazy, and it's crazy good. And it's a promise of truth and hope that we as Christ followers live and breathe by. Jesus hasn't gone out of his mind. He's shown us what it looks like when the mind of Christ is fully inhabited and lived on this earth. He has defeated and bound Satan and invites us to renew our minds so that we too may acquire more of Christ's wild and radical love, acceptance, inclusivity, truth, and justice. Today and always, may we all joyfully embrace the radical love of Jesus Christ, all under one roof, one family. Jesus Christ, and when we boldly live his message in our daily lives, we begin to witness and experience and learn just what it means for Christ to love the world. Christ invites us and all who are obedient to God's will into family as his sisters, brothers, mothers, and friends. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Gracious and holy God, thank you for Jesus' life, death, and resurrecting victory over sin and Satan. Thank you for your expansiveness and for teaching us how to include all of our neighbors so that we may all become one family in Christ. Help us to continually open our hearts to you, to continually repent and turn away from our sin, so that we may grow more closely with you in relationship. Give us the strength and the courage to join Jesus in his mission, to speak love against evil, and to spread your unconditional and radical good news throughout the world. May we do all this with joy and confidence, knowing that Jesus has already secured the victory. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.
Trust and hope, let us confess our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We come before the triune God to pray for our communities, ourselves, and our world. You reawaken our hearts to your mercy. We give you thanks for renewers of the church in every age. Enliven the creativity and persistence of all seeking to transform the church into a closer vision of your beloved community. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Your presence is revealed in the shade of trees, the growth of seeds into flowers, and in the blessing of plants granting food in their right season. Heal land scarred by deforestation, pollution, or infestation. Teach us to cultivate the earth with respect and reverence. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Our nations and communities are divided, O God. Teach us to listen with curiosity and mercy, even in disagreement. Grant us the humility to acknowledge our hardness of heart and make us bold in modeling cooperation and respect for the sake of the common good. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Hear the prayers of all who cry out to you from the depths of fear, despair, or hopelessness, especially Bill, Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Jana, Scott, Mike and Joanna, Debbie, John, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we name now aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. With haste, rescue victims of trafficking, exploitation, and abuse, and bless organizations and individuals who work on their behalf. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Grant wisdom and clarity to all who are in serious seasons of discernment and transition, high school graduates preparing for first jobs or new educational journeys, those who are shifting careers, and those who are navigating changes in their relationships. Accompany them with your peace. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Praise to you for our ancestors in faith who believed, spoke, and lived in you. Give us confidence that as Jesus was raised, so we too will be raised with all the saints into your everlasting presence. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Receive our prayers, O God, and come quickly to our aid through the power of the Spirit and the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to move around a little bit and share the peace of Christ with one another.
I've never been before. No sad goodbyes will there be spoken, for time won't matter. Heavenly flight.
Jesus, bread of life, you have set this table with your very self and called us to the feast of plenty. Gather what has been sown among us and strengthen us in this meal. Make us to be what we receive here, your body for the life of the world. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Let
us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Christ has set the table with more than enough for all. Come. the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray together. Jesus, bread of life, we have received from your table more than we could ever ask. As you have nourished us in this meal, now strengthen us to love the world with your own life. In your name we pray. Amen.
The blessing of God, who provides for us, who feeds us, and who journeys with us, be upon you now and forever. Amen.
Go in peace. You are the body of Christ. Thanks be to God.